This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
I know what you're thinking. Mine's bigger than yours, right? Isn't that fair? Throw it away. All right? All right! They're coming! The rats are coming! Thousands of them!
Tell me about Disneyland.
They got tons of popcorn there.
Yeah.
And all you gotta do is go climb a tree to go eat it.
It was a night like any other night. Then, something happened.
Oh, good Lord! It's unbelievable. It's horrible.
Hey, wait. There's something weird here.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, my name's Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, post-apocalyptic wasteland, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1960s to today. Check us out at reallyawfulmovies.com, part of the Crypt TV family.
Now the clouds have all rolled on, and the storm has come and gone. And while the road was long, the Spirit helped us through. Here we are in Eden.
This is a madhouse.
No, it is. It's just like life. You get the funny with the tragic.
Here we are in Eden, though we hope to stay. Almost slipped away.
See the shadow of the eagle in the sunrise. Hear the music of the children in the moonrise. Feel the power of the lion when he roars like thunder.
Roar!
But you're gonna get killed. The cat's got a little excited. That's all. Oh.
Why did you bring us here? We're just gonna die.
Roar!
And do you know what your friends are probably doing to our family right now? They are eating.
Shut up.
Roar!
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 78, Roar.
Roar. And no, this is not the Katy Perry song.
This is the
batshit insane movie from 1981.
Starts off with the crawl saying that no animals were hurt during the filming of this thing. And forget about the animals.
The people.
The people.
No animals were hurt, but a lot of people were very severely injured. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. I'm going to actually read a list of some of the bodily harm that came to some of the principals on this set. But I mean, you know, every so often you come across a movie where you're like, what the fuck am I seeing? I mean, I cannot believe that this was made. This is a film that I can guarantee you have never seen before, nor will you ever see the legs of this again. This is un-fucking-believable.
There would be no way to get clearance for this thing.
No.
Ever.
I mean, this movie was a labor of love by Tippi Hedren, Miss Tippi Hedren. She'll always be Miss Tippi Hedren to me because of her credits in Birdemic, a movie she was supposedly in, which I never answer. And her family, her husband at the time, Noel Marshall, who wrote this film with his friends, says in the credits, Noel Marshall and friends. Friends being the animals. Lions, tigers, zebras, oh my, no. Well, there's zebras, there are lions and tigers.
Flamingos, there's ligers, there's elephants.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the East African savannah. And
yeah. The plot of this movie is you have this guy, this character by the name of Hank, and this is played by Noel Marshall, the husband. The husband at the time of Miss Tippi Hedren, who received a grant to go to Africa for an indeterminate amount of time to study jungle cats. And in doing so, he had to get up close to them and actually sort of become part of the pride. So that involved basically having them like move into his house and live with him, and bathe with him, and sleep with him, and I don't know, God knows what with him, because, I mean, he's very close to these animals, like, too close, and, oh my lord, I mean, this guy, Hank, he's like this whiny, frantic, sort of Sammy Hagar crossed with Harvey Keitel lookalike. And when the movie begins, well, first of all, before we even begin, I mean, it starts off this really didactic song, you know, or whose land is this? This land is my land. See the shadow of the eagle in the sunrise. In trigonomy. Yeah. And they keep repeating that. In trigonomy. Where's trigonomy?
Trigonometry? I don't know.
I thought too.
Yeah, and he's riding a motorbike through the savannah in East Africa. He's like the Pied Piper of jungle cats.
Yeah.
And there's all these cats following him, and he's got this compound on which hundreds of various cats live, outdoors, indoors, the surrounding property,
on top of the house, on the balcony,
in the water, on the boats, in the living room, on the roof, on the stairs, everywhere. There's cats everywhere.
And then when you say hundreds and hundreds, it's not hyperbole. There are literally hundreds of jungle cats. You have lions, jaguars, tigers, cheetahs, cougars, leopards, every predatory jungle cat in existence is living on this fucking compound with this guy. And this movie is pure cinema verite. I mean, there is no CGI. This is 1981. There are no stuntmen. This is, like, as real as it gets. So when Hank goes into his home and he's mauled by, like, five different lions at one time, he's literally getting mauled. You see, like, the blood dripping off his hand, and you see the, like, the, you know, the frustration in his face, and he's like, you know, trying to get through these lions, but at the same time, he loves them, and he's like, oh, Robbie, this is Robbie, and this is Bobby, and this is Tommy, and this
is... Yeah, he anthropomorphizes all of them. Yeah. He's got a name for all of them, and the leader of the pack
is Robbie.
Robbie and Togar is the big, angry, bloodthirsty alpha male. So
yeah, Togar is the one who's trying to challenge Robbie for his dominance. He's welcoming to every jungle cat, except for Togar. That rogue Togar! You know? And at one point he says, he's like, what's that rogue Togar doing here? Because he says, Robbie is a gentle and loving ruler. However, you know, his dominance is being challenged by Togar at all times. And, you know, we know it's hard to tell these animals apart, but we can tell Togar because for some reason he's just covered in blood throughout the entire movie. So,
yeah, I was thinking with all the yelling of Togar, which comprises at least 20% of the dialogue, it's up there with, like, Maria from West Side Story or Attica.
Yeah,
because Togar, Togar.
Because this frantic Hank is always like, Togar, get out of here, Togar, what are you doing here, Togar?
And these are legit cries for help from a guy who's not a crazy cat lady. He's basically a crazy cat man. Mm-hmm. And the first 40 minutes is basically this guy, the husband of Tippi Hedren, putting himself in what I would call mortal peril by mock wrestling with these savage beasts. It's really something to behold.
And then,
you can never get away with this.
If he's
so
not wrestling
wild.
These beasts, there's a cutaway to them wrestling each other, and it's extremely savage, right? Mm-hmm. It's like basic watching, like, bum fights with, like, but instead of bums, it's like, you know, fucking predatory jungle beasts versus Noel Marshall.
I gotta go help your uncles. They're killing each other. Stop it! Stop it!
Stop it!
This is a snuff film.
It is.
It really is.
It's a snuff film with animals. And so he's been separated from his wife for 3 years. He's been in Africa. His wife is Madeline. This is Tippi Hedren. They come with their three kids. And these are their three actual kids in real life. Melanie, played by Melanie Griffith, in her acting debut.
Yeah.
John Marshall, and Jerry. And they're coming to finally, you know, reunite their father after 3 year absence. So he needs to get the place cleaned and in order. And, you know, they didn't even address, like, the poop that would be everywhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? The animal poop. Yeah. And this poor guy, I don't know what the relation is. Mativo. He's like his...
Mativo. He's I guess, a guide. Maybe this is in Maasai territory. He's presumably a Swahili-speaking... sort of game warden type guy, but kind of ineffectual. He's got a pistol and he wears khaki, but I don't know what his function is.
No, because he never takes out the pistol. In fact, at one point, he's given an umbrella to fend off the jungle tiger. Cats. And the guy is just terrified of these animals, as he should be.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's there ostensibly to help Hank clean up the place for his family. But, you know, not once, not twice, but I think thrice, he's involved in a wrestling match with, like, one of the jungle cats for his jacket.
Yeah.
You know, they're, like, having a tug of war.
Yeah, the jacket was almost like a MacGuffin. It was like, my jacket, Hank! You know?
Yeah,
and then the cats shredded it to shit.
I'd be like, just give it to the fucking... Who gave me your fucking jacket, man?
He does provide a sort of sober voice of reason, saying at various points when Hank is chauffeuring... tigers on top of his jeep through the savannah, going, you know, these cats are going to kill us. And
yeah.
What are you doing? Why are you riding with them? They should ride. They should follow us. They don't need to ride in the car with us.
But all his warning is going heated because Hank is a fucking nutter. He's like, oh, it's okay, Mativo. Don't worry, they're harmless. So there's a bit of a sort of a miscommunication because when the family lands, they take a bus to go to the compound. Whereas Hank is actually going with Mativo to the airport. So it's almost like planes, trains, and automobiles at this point, because in order to get to the airport, there's so many misadventures, because at one point they're on a boat, and there's about three tigers in the back.
And 1,500 pounds of Bengal tiger sinks this poor, pathetic, you know,
dinghy.
Vessel. Yeah,
he's like abandoned ship, so there's that. Then they board a couple of bicycles, and that's just like a comedy of errors. Finally a car, and that this is the aforementioned car with the tigers in the back. But while this is going on, the family has made it to the compound, to the house, and there's about 30 minutes of just ridiculousness.
Hiding from felines.
Running, hiding in closets, hiding in hutches, hiding in ice boxes, just motorcycle stunts, like everything is just completely real, legit. Unbelievable, but again... We have to mention, too, that before he leaves to pick up his family, he gets a visit from the committee. They're just called the committee, and it's a group of people. And you got to remember, this guy has been there for 3 years, living with these fucking jungle cats. He's bathing with the... It's like Dr. Liff. I could bathe with the animals, sleep with the animals. Yeah. God knows what else is doing, the animals. He was there for 3 years, you know, with no other companion but the animals. Finally, the committee visits, and they don't like the fact that there's non-indigenous...
Bengal tigers they brought in from India or God knows where, and they are they're unhappy with the entire situation.
Yeah.
It's unsafe. There's invasive species there. The whole thing is messed up.
And it doesn't help that they come in two boats, and that rogue Togar just shows up and just like makes waste to like the boat and basically eats two of their heads off.
Yeah, and we're gonna get to the real life injuries that were experienced here. In one scene, as we said earlier, Melanie Griffith gets kind of mauled, but you have the IMDb entry right there.
Well, let me read you a few things. Okay, number one, during filming in 1977, so this came out in 81, but it was filmed in 77, Melanie Griffith was mauled by a lion and required plastic surgery, reportedly receiving 50 stitches to her face. Cinematographer Jan de Bond. Now, this is Jan de Bond, famous cinematographer of Die Hard, Basic Instinct, Lethal Weapon 3. He went on to direct Speed 1 and 2, Twister. This was his North American film debut as a cinematographer. Great cinematographer. This is a beautiful movie. This could have been his last movie. Jan de Bond was mauled and scalped by a lion on the set. De Bond required over 120 stitches to sew his scalp back from where a lion had bitten his head. After medical treatment, de Bond actually returned to the production to complete his DOP duties. Good for Jan de Bond. Star Noel Marshall was attacked and severely injured by one of the lions in the film. Amazing it was only one, because it looks like he was mauled by about 30. But he was hospitalized, and it took him several years to completely recover from his injuries.
Oh.
Tippi Hedren fractured a leg during production when an elephant bucked off its back when she was riding on top.
I did remark during that scene that this was perhaps the most dangerous scene, Tippi Hedren being thrown around on the back and head of an elephant and plunked right in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Moreover, also during production, Hedren was bitten on the back of her head by a lioness called Sherry. Now, if that's not enough, assistant director Doron Cooper was attacked and mauled by a lion during production of the picture. Cooper's throat was bitten open, from whereupon the lion proceeded to bite his jaw and attempted to rip an ear off. This almost cost him his life.
Jesus.
So, in other words, this is a snuff film. This was a $20 million... That's how much it cost to film this thing. A $20 million home movie snuff film. Because, you know, you got the Hedren family, and you remarked as you were watching this movie, what the fuck? Like, I said, like, good on Tippi Hedren for doing her own stunts and stuff. I mean, it took a lot of, like, forking. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with her, man?
Yeah.
Taking her entire brood into Africa, her and her husband.
It's true.
For them being mauled.
Well, I guess that by this point the brood were adults, so they signed on for this nonsense, for this vanity piece.
By the same token,
my God.
Yeah, if my mom said to me, "Okay, son, we're gonna go to Africa and we're gonna film a movie for 3 years, and you're gonna be face to face with, you know,
your own mortality,
100 predatory cats, and you're gonna be scratched and mauled.
Oh,
and
my God.
Your head ripped off." I'd be like, "Mom, I don't want to do it.
Get off of her! Open her. Oh, Mom, get off me, Emmy. No. John! Jerry! Where are you? John! Jerry, hurry! Melanie! Get up! No! No, no!
Jeez.
You know?
As a kid, I was being looked after by a babysitter, and I jumped onto a sofa and hit my head on a coffee table, and I required 15 stitches and ended up at the local ER. 120 stitches.
Can you imagine, like, your head in the jaws of a lion?
Your scalp being ripped off. It's worse than anything.
And then Jan de Bond actually went back.
And Gene-inspired Texas Chainsaw shit.
Yeah.
And he went back and he finished
his DOP duties.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man. And, I mean, there's many times when we see Hank, Noel Marshall, and he's just playing with the animals, and he's got this gauze around his hand, and it gets ripped off, and blood is dripping all over his arm, and then the animals are mauling at it, and more blood's coming out. He's like, Robbie. Oh, you're hurting my hand. I mean, I'm just like, what a fucking nutter. What the hell is wrong with this person?
Yeah.
It's a great movie, man. I'm glad that they went through this shit so we could see this movie, because it's unbelievable. Just for spectacle alone. You know what I mean? But honestly,
and luckily the denouement wasn't the same as Grizzly Adams, the Werner Herzog production there.
It could have been. Yeah. That's the whole thing. I mean,
lots of near misses.
The fact that no animals were harmed during the production, okay, you know? The fact that no humans were mortally harmed. I mean, many humans were harmed.
Yeah.
It's not mortally, you know? I don't know how they managed to escape their lives. I mean, this... You have to see it to believe it. It's just hundreds and hundreds of the most fearsome predatory animals attacking each other, attacking humans. And it's not just the cats. It's the elephants. It's...
Yeah.
You know, in one scene, there's like this weird sort of slapstick motorcycle where a guy's caught between two rampaging elephants. It's just insane.
I remember reading an account of, I forget the title of the book, but a wildlife officer in Siberia. And whose job it was to look after the endangered Siberian tiger. And apparently these things are so fierce and so strong that they can kill black bears, which just blows my mind. So these things, and in this movie, the tiger was the most foreboding, the most fearsome, and the most threatening, because this thing almost killed, I think, four or five guys who came by in the boat. As soon as... oh, my God.
Well, listen, the tigers were the ones that kept wanting to go along for the ride. They were in the back of the Jeep, you know?
Wow.
And it's funny, because, you know, you mentioned Grizzly...
Grizzly Adams, yeah.
Grizzly Adams, and you said something as we're watching the movie. This was my second viewing. You know, it's fascinating.
I have to see this again, at least for the first 40 minutes, because there's no nature footage. You'd have to, I don't know, maybe David Attenborough somewhere has some documentary footage, or God knows what, the late Croc Hunter or Steve Irwin, or someone in a zoo, maybe with one animal, or someone with a petting zoo who's got one. Maybe a domesticated cat under his charge, but this thing, the dozens and dozens and dozens of the biggest members of the pride.
We're not kidding.
It made me really stressed to watch this.
It was an ordeal. I'm sweating. He's outside, and there's like 40 chemical cats, and he walks in, and there's just like 50 of these things, and... they're just leaping on him at the door as if, you know, you're a puppy would.
Yeah, like a German shepherd welcoming their owner back from work or something, and jumping up on him at the door. Oh my God,
Getting back to Grizzly Adams, I mean, and one thing you mentioned is, I wonder what his last thoughts were, you know, as he was getting mauled to death by that, or what Steve Irwin's last thoughts were.
Yeah.
Sort of like, maybe I made, like, the wrong decision in my life, you know, oh shit, but like, I'm just thinking, like, when they were making this movie, and this is a labor of love. I mean, honestly, they sunk $20 million of their own money. This did not deter them from loving these big cats. After this movie, Miss Tippi Hedren created the Roar Foundation, to, you know, create a sanctuary for these jungle cats. I
don't get it.
I get it. I mean, these are beautiful animals. They deserve to be, you know,
protected. Yeah.
But I mean, this is weird, man. Like, as far as art goes, it's just crazy. It's a snuff film. It's bum fights, but with animals. It's like watching like one of those old live action Disney films, like the Swiss Family Robinson crossed with like Mondo Cane, you know, like just like, it's just like this harrowing experience, punctuated by this bizarre comedic relief of Motivo, and also this, like I said, like this whiny, frantic, oh no, Motivo, and I'm that Togar, oh no, Robbie, what did they do to you, and da da da. Insane, man. Insane. I can't think of anything else to compare it to, Chris.
Yeah, and it's all very loosely held together with this plot of, again, that committee, this nebulous committee, and some of its, I guess, wardens/poachers who come in and take down some of the animals, and they come in on horseback with bandoliers and looking like banditos coming in to shoot these tigers very unconvincingly. But again, it's just, this is just a means to showcase.
Blame them? They got their faces mauled off, like, when they came to visit, you know.
And I can't blame them at all.
Exact
some human revenge.
I would be rooting against the people that are, you know, wanting to kill off these predatory beasts. But in this case, I mean, it's like, they did not get the most hospitable welcome.
No.
they got their faces mauled to shit, right? At the very beginning. And as you're leaving, Hank goes, oh, what's the matter with you? There's just a few scratches.
Yeah. Also, it's only a flesh wound.
Exactly. Another thing that was hilarious is that when the committee was visiting, busy day, I mean, his family's flying in that very same day, but that morning he's going to meet the committee for the first time in 3 years. As he's speaking to them, he also happens to give birth to a liger, a hybrid animal. Forget Napoleon Dynamite, the liger.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a real liger, you know? The mating of a lion and a tiger. Mm-hmm. I mean, insane, dude. In Trigonomy. I guess Trigonomy is where it took place. I don't know. All I know is that in Trigonomy, there's some real bizarre shit happening. Roar. Unbelievable, man. On my first viewing, I had to see it for a second time, because the first time I saw it, I was at a loss for words. I'm so happy I saw this movie. What did you learn from Roar?
I learned there was a little bit of art that went into this. A lot. So there's beautiful cinematography.
Was incredible.
Yeah.
Great music by the London Philharmonic Orchestra.
Yes, they managed to avoid any shot that might have had any sort of poop in it. And considering this homestead was populated by a hundred feline bloodthirsty tenants, that was quite an achievement, really. And just for continuity, poop continuity. What did you learn?
I learned that when Melanie Griffith was in her, her late teens, she was damn hot.
Yeah.
Whew, was she smoking? The other thing I learned is that, I love movies. I love seeing things I've never seen before. But sometimes you can go just a little too far in trying to capture something on celluloid. And Noel Marshall, Tippi Hedren, they should have been jailed for this, man. But putting their brew through this, for their daughter to require reconstructive surgery just to make a fucking movie, a little bit excessive, I think,
in my
opinion. However,
they suffered for their art, and we're glad they did.
I'm glad they did, because this is just like an incredible piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Unbelievable. You owe it to yourself to see it.
Yeah.
So, star rating?
4 for me. 4 out of 5. Yeah,
4 stars. I mean, there are moments that are a little sort of slow and redundant here in the middle. It gets a little sort of when the family's just sort of running around trying to avoid all the animals in there. But for sheer spectacle alone, this is a 4-star. And when you see something, you can honestly say, I've never seen anything like this before.
Nor will you ever again. Then you have to see this.
It has to be seen. And so, 4 stars all the way, man.
Yep.
And so would you do what Noel Marshall did? Would you live on a compound with 100 predatory general cats?
I was thinking about those guys who go in a cage and dive with sharks. I wouldn't even do that. Forget about this. And there's no way. I wouldn't even drive through one of those lion safari places.
How many people die just in that? Cranking the window open. And then
or drunks who jump into the bear compound in Russia or Ukraine or something. This is, happens every year.
I wouldn't even live in a home with 100 domesticated felines.
I don't even visit a house with pit bulls.
I don't even like cats, period. Yeah. If there's like 100 Siamese cats, I don't want to live. So forget about lions, tigers, cougars.
No bears, but cheetahs. Forget it. Yeah, forget exactly.
Oh, Lord. So good on Noel Marshall for doing this, for subjecting his family to this.
And for showing some incredible courage and bravery.
Man is either the bravest man that ever walked through this earth or the fucking stupidest.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the latter.
Yeah. Valor, no discretion.
Yes.
And for more, check out our website, www.reallyawfulmovies.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, awful_movies. We're part of the Crypt TV family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Intriguing on me.